Father, we thank you and bless you for this day. We pray now that everything that we do and say, that it will be pleasing in your sight. We pray that you will be glorified and that your people will be edified and that the enemy will be horrified and terrified by what you will do in the lives of your people as they not only be hearers of your word, but become doers of your word as well. We ask you to hear our prayer now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the great reads of my life was a book written by Tyrese Gibson, recording artist, movie star, Hollywood star. The title of the book was How to Get Out of Your Own Way. Tyrese tells a story of growing up, the rough parts of Los Angeles, California, and Southern California, not having his father in his life, his mother going through her own personal struggles, men coming in and out of his life. He was a young man with gifts, talents, skills, and abilities, undiscovered and seemingly set on the path of being a person with great potential, but that potential would not be fully realized. People knew about him in Hollywood and knew about him in the music industry, but he just couldn't get a break. And it wasn't until Will Smith sat down and had a conversation with him that he discovered what the problem was in his life. The problem wasn't that he didn't have a father in his life. The problem wasn't that he'd had a mother who made bad choices in her life. The problem wasn't that he had grown up needing public assistance to make ends meet in his family. The problem was that he couldn't get out of his own way. Tyrese recognized that there was nobody else he could blame for where he would be or could be or wouldn't be in life in his future except for himself. My brothers and my sisters, I've come to understand that when we look at our lives, many of us are not only in our own way, but the tragic truth is we're in God's way as well. That God wants to do some amazing and great things in you, to you, and eventually through you. But the biggest obstacle to God having his way in our life is not where we were raised, the presence or absence of a mother or father, but at this point in your life, you being the person responsible for where you are and where you will go from here, the problem is you won't get out of your own way and you won't get out of God's way. Now, somebody may ask the question, why is that important? Why is that significant? It's significant, listen carefully, because if you can't learn how to get out of your own way, you probably won't get out of God's way. There are trends in life. Let me see if I can give you an example. Somebody who's trifling in their personal life probably doesn't take care of business in their professional life, right? Because trifling kind of follows you wherever you go. You might be a little less trifling, a little more trifling, but trifling is trifling, right? If you're messy in your personal life, you're probably going to be messy in your business life, right? But if you take care of business in your personal life, you are more likely to take care of business in your professional life. God has some expectations for us. And there are two words for me that have helped challenge me and have helped me, I believe, have arguably the best 3 years of my life. The one word that I want you to get today, write down somewhere, is focus. I think too many of us get out of focus on what is primary, what is essential, what is the main thing, which causes us to spend energy majoring on minors. The second word that you'll be writing a whole lot today and next week is the word intentional. I don't believe the majority of us live our lives in an intentional way. Most people just kind of go along to get along and hope something happens good somewhere along the way, but we're not intentional about taking charge of where we are and where we could be. Now, you do know there's a difference between the word intention and intentional. And there are a whole lot of folk who have good intentions, but they're still not intentional. The road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. But if your life is going to become all that it can be and all that God wants it to be, then you have to learn how to be intentional. Today, I want to start a series entitled Intentional Discipleship. God has been doing some amazing things in the life of our church over the last 19 months since we began this reset coming out of the pandemic. We have seen 200 people become a part of our church family last year, around 42-43%, I think the number is, maybe a little bit higher, adult candidates for baptism. This year, we're over 50% ahead of the rate of last year, almost at 200 now of people who have come to faith in Christ, probably 48% of people, conversion growth, people who have come to faith here, adults. And as great as that has been, as awesome as that has been, I mean, it deserves an applause. Come on, let's thank God for what God has been doing. Because some of you have volunteered like you never have before. Some of you have prayed like you have never prayed before. Some of you have been battling strongholds in your life and finding deliverance like you have never found it before. But as great as that has been, imagine how much more we could do as a church if everybody in here under the sound of my voice and watching became intentional about letting God use you. Some of it is because you don't know what to do. Some of it is because you know what to do, but you're afraid to do it. And some of it is because you don't see yourself the way God sees you. For a few moments today, I want to start our series by talking to you from the thought, how to go in a way that glorifies God. How to go in a way that glorifies God. We're not going to get through the whole message today, so we'll come back and finish up next week. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. You can also download a digital version of the outline that you can fill in on our app as well as going online to our website. Here's the first thing I want you to see. If you are going to go in a way that glorifies God, number one, you need to know what it means to intentionally go to the glory of God. What does it mean to intentionally go to the glory of God? Verse 19, Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Let's stop right there. Therefore go. The word go there is a simple word. It means to proceed from one place to another, to make your way. It's interesting because this word in the New Testament is always in the middle voice, which suggests that the going that you need to do is in your hands. In other words, it's not in the passive voice where you are dependent on somebody else to make you go. It is in the middle voice, which means it's something you have to exercise out of your own will. You are responsible for your going. He says you've got to go. Now, that go is a participle. It's a participle, but it's not just any old participle. Some have defined this participle, go, as a reference to as you go, wherever you go, whenever you go. But when the Bible talks about going here, it's in the imperatival sense, which means it's in agreement with the main verb, which means when you go, you should go with intentionality. You got to be intentional in your going. When I was a boy growing up, my father was a New York City police officer. He worked undercover narcotics. He worked as a transit cop. He worked as a beat cop. And one of the things he would always do, and it still is in me today, he would always tell me, be observant of your surroundings. When you go in a space, make sure you identify an additional exit. Make sure if somebody walked in and started shooting, how would you protect yourself? How would you protect your family? How would you get out of harm's way? If somebody goes left, what are you going to do? Are you going to go right? How are you going to handle difficult situations when they come? And he would always tell me, have a plan, because it's always easier to work off a plan than if you have no plan. He would tell me, he said, now, you know, your mother's not going to do this. Sister's not going to do this. I'm depending on you. So even to this day, I walk in a room now. If you ask me, if I'm sitting there, how many exits are there, I can tell you how to get out. I can tell you if a gunman comes from the left, what I need to do to get to the right. Right? Because that's just how he raised me. He raised me to be observant, to take inventory, and to be very intentional in my observations and not just haphazard when I go in a place. Jesus says you need to go, and your going has to be intentional. Now you say intentional around what? Well, remember, it's in the imperatival sense. It's in agreement with the main verb, which means when we go, we ought to be going, always looking for one of two kinds of people to come in contact with, people who need Jesus or people who know Jesus. He says, everywhere you go, he says, you have an opportunity to help somebody who needs Jesus to know Jesus, or help somebody who knows Jesus to grow in Jesus. Everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to add value to somebody's life. Even if it's nothing, but you know what? I'll pray for you. Or God bless you. There's always a way for us to encourage somebody along the way. And Jesus says you've got to go with intentionality. You've got to be about disciple making, helping everybody you come in contact with. In other words, you don't have to make a special trip. Every day. You talk to, come in contact with somebody who needs Jesus or somebody who knows Jesus. The question is their life better after they come in contact with you? Here's the second thing. Number two, you must intentionally go in the Lord's power. You've got to intentionally go in the Lord's power. Verse 18, Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. So the therefore in verse 19 is there to refer back to what he says in verse 18. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That word authority is the word exousia. It connotes and is normally translated power, but it's more than just power. It's having authorized power. It's having validation to do what needs to be done. Our oldest grandchild, Bryn, is 12, I think, now. And if Bryn tells her younger sisters something that they don't agree with, they could respond and say, basically, who you think you are, you not our mama. But they came to the house and they were doing something, and my wife told the two younger ones that if I'm not in the room, you in the room with Bryn, Bryn is in charge. And if Bryn is in charge, you better do what Bryn tells you to do, or else you won't have a problem with me. Bryn is bigger than the other two, stronger than the other two, older than the other two. Watch this. She already has power, but my wife gave her authority. And once she got authority, now she can act and use the power with wisdom in order to maintain the order that my wife expected. Here's all I'm trying to help somebody to see today. The Lord has authority. He says, all authority has been given to me. And then watch this. He says to his disciples, you go and make disciples. That's what I need you to do. I need you to go in my authority. Listen, when you go in somebody's authority, you can act in a way that you couldn't act if you didn't have their authority. The number one thing that's keeping many of you from being a disciple who is making disciples is fear. And part of the reason you have fear is because you don't recognize that you are moving in authority. See, you look at yourself and you say, well, I don't think I pray good enough. Or I don't know if I'm living holy enough. Or maybe the folk I'm trying to disciple know I'm not living as holy and righteous as somebody else. And God says, no, you don't have to worry about you. Just work and move in my authority. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must intentionally go and do the Lord's purpose. You got to do the Lord's purpose. You got to make the Lord's purpose your purpose. Watch this. God has a purpose for his church. But remember, every time the word church appears in the Bible, he's talking about people, not buildings. Which means if God has a purpose for his church, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for your life. And it's only when you fulfill that purpose that God makes and molds you into who he has fully created you to be. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The Lord's purpose for his church is your purpose as a believer. The Lord's purpose for his church has to become your purpose for your life. Because it's his purpose for your life. He says, make disciples. Now, here's the thing you got to know. You got to be a disciple in order to make a disciple. You can't export what you haven't imported. You can't give what you haven't gotten. Right? That's why we've been challenging you over these last 19 months to make a commitment to being a disciple of Jesus. That's why I made the declaration in January of 2023, you got 2 years to get on this discipleship path. If you're a leader in this church and if you don't want to get on the discipleship path, let me know so I can give you a letter to whatever church you want to go to. Because you can't be a leader in this church that's committed to making disciples if you're not committed to being a disciple who makes disciples. And if you want a church where you can be church-tained and treat the church like it's a Christian nightclub and use the offering as your cover charge, a communion as your beverage of choice, and you come to see how the pastor's going to entertain you and not equip you, and you want to come to be a consumer and not a contributor, then let me send you to another church, because that's not where we are. We're not committed to coming to church and having good church. We are committed to what? Being the church. Being salt. Being light. And turning the world upside down by helping to turn people's lives right side up. He says, make disciples. Matheteo. is the word in the Greek, imperative sense. It's a command. It's more than just a dissemination of information. It is the receiving of information in order to experience life transformation, so that as you receive that information and experience life transformation, you look less like yourself and more like the discipler that you are following. Remember what I told you, when you are a disciple of Jesus, it is not about becoming the best version of yourself, it's about you becoming the best version of Jesus you can be. So that when folk hear you talking, they're hearing more of Jesus and less of you. Don't talk about I'm a disciple of Jesus because I cuss less. No, talk about being a disciple of Jesus because you talk more like him. It's not less of you, it's more of him that the world needs to see. Somebody who is committed to following and living out the principles and precepts of God, and then helping somebody else experience the joy of knowing and following Jesus. So Jesus says to his disciples, hey, y'all disciples, get ready to make some disciples. Because watch this, if they were not committed to making disciples, then the Christian church would have died when they died. They had to make a commitment to share that good news with somebody else. And we do it, y'all. We just don't do it for Jesus. We do it for sororities and fraternities and fraternal orders. We do it with friends and family members. We just don't do it for Jesus. How many of you have made disciples for Jesus? How many of you are mentoring somebody right now into the kingdom of God? And some of you are afraid to do it because you don't see yourself the way you should. So I discovered something the other day. Don't laugh. I discovered something the other day. My wife and I were flying back from North Carolina, and I was sitting in the aisle. She was sitting in the window, and there was a guy on the other side of the aisle, big dude. Like, I'm looking at this dude. I'm like, man, that's a big dude. And his son is sitting at the window. He's not as big as his dad, but he's taller. So the guy in front of him said, man, how tall are you, if you don't mind me asking? And the son said, 7 feet. Tall guy. But his dad was big. Big guy. I mean, by any measurement, he's a big guy. My wife said, big guy. Big guy. It wasn't until I got up to get my bags from above our seat that I realized something that I really have never fully grasped in my life. I'm a big guy. No. Y'all laughing. I'm serious. Like, I've had people come and say, oh, man, you bigger than you look on TV. Or you taller than you look online. And I chuckle, they chuckle. But I'm a big guy. Now, somebody may ask the question, how did you come to that revelation, Pastor? Let me tell you how I came to that revelation. I'm sitting across the aisle from this big guy. I get up to get my bag. From overhead, he gets up to get his bag. I've already assessed him multiple times and have come to the conclusion that he's a big guy. I turned around to put my bag in the aisle, and I looked at him, and I'm looking at him eye to eye. And I said, man, I thought he was taller than that. And then I looked at him size-wise. And I said, and I kind of like, yeah, you know, you pull out that mental tape measure, you know, I'm like, then I'm like, man, this guy the same size.
So I'm like, DZ, you a big guy.
Now, y'all, I've never seen myself as big. I just am who I am, right? I just never saw myself that way. And I've had people tell me that, but it's like, yeah, that's just because you're smaller. There ain't nothing. I ain't big. You just vertically challenged. You know, it ain't my, you know. But no, I got off that plane saying to myself, Kofi, are you a big guy? Now, here's why I'm telling you this. Other people have seen me as big for most of my life. The only person that didn't see themselves as big was me. Other people saw what I didn't see. Now, you think I'm talking about me, but I'm really talking about you. Because you don't see in you what other people see, and more importantly, what God sees. Now, watch this. I'm trying to help you be a better disciple, but I'm getting ready to help you be better in every aspect of your life. Because if you don't see yourself for who you are and how God made you, then you will never live out all that God has put in you. Let me give you an example. So, a couple years ago, I was angry. I was mad at some pastors, some preachers, because I felt snubbed. Because I work really hard at what I do. I work really hard to be the best preacher I can be. I work really hard. I read. I study. You know, I work hard. I know I do. And I've worked with conferences and worked with churches around the country, around the world. And so, you know, pastors would have conferences, and I used to get invited to teach and preach at these conferences, and all those invitations dried up. And there were some invitations that I thought I would get that I didn't get. So somebody say real talk. I want to be honest with you. And so I'm feeling some kind of way. And in some of those instances, I'm questioning myself, man, maybe I'm not good enough to preach in those places. Maybe that's why I'm not getting invited. You know, it must be me, right? And they're inviting other people. Man, it must be me. They used to invite me. They don't invite me anymore. Man, I must have messed up. I must have done something wrong, right? And I got a word of encouragement from an unsaved person. They don't even claim to be Christian. Matter of fact, they gave me the advice with some profanity lace in there. And they basically said to me, why are you waiting for somebody else to affirm what God has done in your life? I'm trying to help somebody today. I'm sitting there and I'm upset because somebody else is not recognizing what I believe God has placed within me. And so it was like, and then the Holy Spirit was like, so now how many people do you teach in these classes when you go to these workshops? And, man, I don't know, 25, 50. It's okay. What do you have to work with? You got a church. You got cameras. You got lights. You got technicians. You got musicians. You got studio. You got recording equipment. And you have 7.5 or 8 billion people in the world that you can reach. So you feel in some kind of way because somebody didn't invite you to talk to 25 people. You, You laughing at me, but you better laugh at yourself. When you have all the tools to reach 7.5-8 billion people, what are you doing? And I said, hi, dog. And I told my wife, because this happened around the same time that we were going through our reset as a church. And I'm like, man, I need to reset some things in my life. I'm longing for an invitation so I can say yes. And when I began to move in who God created me to be and the gifts that God has given me without requiring the validation of somebody else, God started opening doors. Somebody said, how was it on vacation? I didn't take vacation. I just wasn't here preaching. 3 weeks ago, I was in New York preaching and teaching, helping pastors to make the main thing the only thing. The next week, I was in North Carolina preaching and teaching, challenging pastors to make the main thing the only thing. Last week, I was in San Antonio teaching, training pastors. Two pastors so excited, they calling me on the phone, talking about they got their list, they're praying, they're getting ready to start their small group, they're going to start their life group, teaching them how to make the main thing the only thing. 3 years ago, I'm longing for an invitation. Now I'm trying to figure out how to say no. Y'all listen, because I got out of my own way and I got out of God's way. It's a tragedy and a shame when you are your own dream killer. Before anybody else can kill it, you kill it yourself. Before the devil can do anything, you shoot it down. Man, you should be doing, oh, no, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Oh, come on, let's be realistic, dream killer. I don't know. Gee, I need more money. Dream killer. I don't know. I wouldn't know where to start. Dream killer. I wouldn't know who to shoot it to, who to give it to. Dream killer. You killing your own dream. Listen to me carefully. As much as God has done in our church and through this church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about through you. Exponential impact is waiting. If we all made the commitment to shift, to become more intentional in allowing God to use us. Your fear is in part because you're not walking in God's power. Your fear is in part because you focus on your deficiencies or your perceived deficiencies, and not focus on what God wants to do through you. And so I want to challenge everybody today. I want to challenge you. Change your focus and become more intentional in allowing God to do the great things he wants to do. But Pastor, so-and-so said, foot on them. That's what my friend would say, Pastor Parker. You know when you have family members and they have cussing alternatives? I always wonder, like, does God consider that cussing even though you threw another word? Man, my grandmother would do something and she hit her toe or something. She said, fumadiddle. And I'm like, fumadiddle? You know, get mad. French open. It's like, French open? What the French open you talking about? Hey, one friend talking about, man, you better stop. I'm going to fork you up. I said, fork me up? What? We're using utensils now? What are you talking about, right? But that's why I started. I said, man, foot on this. I ain't depending on nobody else to open a door for me that God can open. Man, they won't hire me. Foot on them. You got to hire me. Create your own job. Because you know what I found out? After I created my own space and did my own thing, the very folk who wouldn't say anything to me that I longed to say something said, man, Kofi, we've been watching you, man. Man, would you come and do this for us? Because I had to get out of my own way and get out of God's way. Somebody today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to say, I'm going to go with intentionality. I'm going to live my life intentionally. And I'm going to focus on getting out of my own way and getting out of God's way and letting God do amazing things in me, to me, and through me for my good and my growth, but ultimately for his glory. Let the people of God say amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we have done and everything that we have said has been pleasing in your sight. For somebody, God, today the first step they need to make is to say yes to you. To say yes to your will, say yes to your word, say yes to your way. Somebody who needs you today needs to say yes to know you. Somebody who knows you needs to say yes today to grow in you. Help them to be dissatisfied with the status quo and make a decision today to intentionally focus their lives to fulfilling their potential in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.